Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jimmy Fitzgerald. And at one time I did live here. I don't now. I live down at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. And I'm going to bring just a short message, and then I'm going to show you what's going on and what we plan on doing down at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. Just not to embarrass anybody, but who's ever been there, partaken, camped, served? Thank you all very much for that. Camp couldn't be camp without your support, your prayer support, financial support, your physical support, you name it. So before I get into the message, I had a couple of things that I had been thinking through, and overcoming obstacles this past summer was huge because there were plenty of obstacles to overcome. Many camps, I just got back from a camp conference where a lot of camps come together. They share ideas. We exchange ideas and so on and so forth. There were camps in this country, believe it or not, that did not even open their doors this past summer. And when we as a staff prayed, we just prayed that our board of directors would be of one mind and be united in the decision, whatever the decision was going to be, whether to open camp, whatever the case might be. So that's what we prayed. We as a staff obviously wanted to have camp, but we knew that it was in the Lord's hands that whatever the board decided, that's what we would go with. So we're at the board meeting, and I'm literally pacing the floor, and the president of the board says to me, he's like, just say it. I said, you may not want to hear what I have to say. He's like, just say it. I said, we need to have camp somehow, some way. I don't know how that's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be like. I said, but the full-time staff, we would like to have camp somehow, some way. And all of the board said, we want that too. And that's what we had prayed for. So we opened camp. We opened camp late because of the situation. And I am very thankful for our board of directors. They are very godly people and made very wise decisions. We have on our board, they're all different various career backgrounds, from medical to you name it. They're very good. So with that, we decided to have camp, and we prayed. I tell you what, my prayer life has grown tremendously over the past summer and still to this day. There were days when were really rough, let me tell you that. There were days I would get up and I would say, Lord, could we just stay open today? And at the end of the day, I'd say, Lord, thank you that we were able to stay open today. Could we go again tomorrow? Because there were times when we were this close to shutting down for 2 weeks or the rest of the season. It isn't anything we did. Yes, we started different things, hand washing. For those of you who are there, we did temperature checks, and I was more in tune with what was going on in the nurse's office than I ever wanted to be, but I needed to be. We had very few kids that we sent home and staff that we sent home. Let me put it to you this way. Your prayers, our prayers were answered. We were supernaturally protected this past summer. Did we have, toward the end, we had high school, college, and career? Yes, we had outbreak. We had people that tested positive. But all through the summer, I'd have parents call and say, you know, my son, my daughter, you know, they're running a fever. We're going to go get them tested. We'll let you know. So here I am waiting a day or two thinking, okay, this is the day we're going to close down, Lord. No. Oh, came back negative. Okay, thank you. And I'm like, just melt into my chair. And just dealing with the parents and everything that was going on, there were so many obstacles. So many obstacles. I mean, literally, I would be on the phone or email from breakfast to lunch. Parents would ask, well, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Can we come to camp? I mean, we had both ends of the spectrum here. We had parents that wanted their kids literally out of the house. And then we had parents that, you know, had elderly in-laws or parents that were living with them that they didn't want their child, and et cetera. And we understood that. We said, listen, let me just tell you what we're doing. And I ran through the litany of things that we were doing. I said, but I don't want to give you any false expectations. I'm standing here. I'm looking at the pool. They are not 6 feet apart. Kids are kids, right? But we did other things, and I won't go through all those things, but we had parents say, okay, I understand what you're doing. I understand the risk. And then I had other parents that I said, look, I understand where you're coming from. If you need to cancel, we will fully refund your money. We understand that you don't want to take that risk. You have a mother-in-law that's living with you. So it was a constant on the phone, people calling, things like that. So there was just so many obstacles to overcome. And let me tell you, it was prayer. It was prayer and the answer to prayer that got us through last summer. So statistics for last summer, we did not have Memorial Day. A lot of you come down for Memorial Day weekend camp. We did not have some of our guest groups. We didn't have any of our guest groups because of the leaders contracted the virus and they couldn't come, so they couldn't chaperone their group. It was just a litany of things why they couldn't come. So we started late. We combined one of our weeks and we added a week. So literally, we only lost 1 week of junior camp. We had over 1,050 kids come through camp last year during a pandemic. If that's not answer to prayer, I don't know what is. Here we're on the edge of closing, and yet 1,050 kids heard the word. There were kids that passed from death to life. It's nothing we did. It was the Lord's provision. And you all praying and supporting and coming down, that's what did it. So obstacles, our passage today is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. I just want to grab a few verses, and literally the passage actually talks about Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. There's some things going on, some really inappropriate things, let me put it that way, that were going on and that he was going to correct. And the interesting thing is he says in the last verse of chapter 4, he's like, listen, do you want me to come with a rod or do you want me to come with grace? And then we get into chapter 5. And the key that I've learned over the years to interpret scripture is to let scripture speak for itself. All right. So this chapter pretty much speaks for itself. I don't have to go through a whole lot of explanation. In verse 1, there were things that were going on. And there's a little bit of controversy over this, couple of things, the day of the Lord. There's a couple things. Is he speaking to believers? Is he speaking to unbelievers? Okay. It's very clear that he's speaking to the church at Corinth. So he's obviously speaking to believers and he's dealing with obstacles that have caused sin in some of the believers there at the church. So, like I said, in the last verse, he says, you know, should I come with a rod or should I come with love and with spirit? And then he gives a very stern proclamation, so to speak, here in this verse. He says, I'm going to pray that this person's flesh is destroyed because they're causing so much disruption and they're not repenting of their sin. And you think, well, how does this apply to us today? Well, discipline is needed. Why do we discipline our children? Why do we discipline our dog, right? Because we we love our children, right? We want them to do right. And discipline is part of loving, right? I disciplined my own children because they do wrong. We're sinners. So how it applies to our lives is there are obstacles that come up in our daily lives that we as believers need to recognize this is one of those obstacles, and I really need to be careful not to fall into that particular sin. So it happened in the church, and he was going to deliver them. So the interesting thing, it talks about church discipline. And there's really three things, if you think about discipline. The first thing is, it's necessary to correct. Would you agree with that? It's necessary to correct. And the Holy Spirit convicts us, even in our own lives. And it's there so we can correct our behavior. Secondly, it's spiritual health of other believers, right? If we're not being who we are supposed to be, or we just show up at church on Sunday and we're putting on, and listen, I want you to understand, when I'm speaking these things, I'm talking about myself also, okay? Am I the same person at camp as I am in my home, as I am right here in front of you, in front of my family? What effect does my obedience in removing obstacles in my life, what ramifications does it have on you? Because the Lord wants us to live a life that's honoring to him. So am I doing that? And lastly, I would say it's necessary to prevent the unbelieving world to criticize Christians. Oh, wait, that person's I just heard they did this, or they fell into this sin, and they go to Fenton Crossing, or he's a director down at Turkey Hill. I don't want anything to do with that. So it's important for us to realize these things and these obstacles. And then it goes on in the chapter, and it talks about leaven. Many of you know I was in the bread business for over 25 years, right? So I know a little bit about this, all right? So a little leaven and a little moisture does a whole lot, doesn't it? We didn't need a lot of yeast to make our bread at Wonder Bread, all right? And man, when they put it in the box where it would rise, you could go in there. It was big conveyor belts. It was like a sauna, because that little bit of yeast and that moisture caused every one of those loaves to rise. So leaven speaks of, in this chapter, it speaks of sin. So if you just let a little bit in and you whet your appetite with it, what do you think's going to happen? Okay. Sandy says it's going to go. That's right. That's what's going to happen. I can relate to this because I saw it happen in mass, hundreds of thousands of loaves of bread, literally every day when I was at the bakery. So we need to remind ourselves that a little leaven leavens, a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, okay? There's unleavened bread, there's leavened bread. We could go into the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. But here's what it comes down to. I'm going to shorten this message. Here's what it comes down to. This, think about this. Did you ever consider yourself to be a lump? Okay. But we can be a new lump. Because what does the verse say? Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. So we're to purge out the sin so we can be new. Now, we can't do it on our own, and the rest of the verse explains why. Again, scripture speaking for itself. We can't do it on our own. What does it say? Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. See, our sin was taken care of on the cross. We can't do anything about it. All we can do is live the life the Lord wants us to by removing these obstacles that cause that little bit of yeast, that little bit of sin to overtake us. So we had to be very careful this summer on the obstacles that came our way. And we kept the faith. We realized that it wasn't us, that it was the Lord, that we needed to watch for these obstacles, because it would have been easy for us to say, oh, this happened or this happened and this is causing this. And then, you know, just there's, I can go into so many different scenarios and I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. But we decided that we were going to live as holy as we could in this situation, in this hostile land. So we tried and we prayed and we committed those things before the Lord. And the Lord honored that. Okay, the Lord honored that. We removed these obstacles that were before us. And how does that apply for us? Look, it's a bunch of O's. Okay, so tomorrow or next week, I have a tendency to forget. Well, plus I'm getting older, right, Sandy? We talked about that. Yeah, okay. So I'm getting older, so I have a tendency to forget things. So I made it simple. There are a bunch of O's. What was the message about? Just think of O's. Overcoming obstacles that obstruct obedience. Four O's. So next week, 2 weeks from now, we can think back and say, well, wait, what do we need to do to overcome these obstacles? Don't let that little bit of yeast grow. All right. I know that's kind of a heavier message, but you can think through that. So here we are. For those of you who don't know about Turkey Hill, I'm going to really quickly go through what's going on at Turkey Hill. All right. So we have a full-time staff, no paid positions. We are workers. It's a ministry. Okay. There's Sonny and Debbie, Steve and Karen, Noah and Lacey, Matt and Erica and the kids, Jimmy and Ashley and the kids, Rodney and Pam and Susie and Jeremy and Bree, and then Alan and Dolly right there. They are somewhat apart. They moved to Jeff City, so they don't actually live at camp anymore, but they're still involved. They're, thankfully, Dolly is still our managing nurse, which helps me greatly. So commercial break. If you're a nurse, let me know, and you'd like to spend a week at camp, we'd love to have you. Okay. So you ask, well, why so many staff? Well, here's why. There's almost 800 acres of property. There's homes, there's buildings, there's a gym, there's a lake, there's a pool, and on we go. That's our lake, our field, all of our buildings. It's a lot of upkeep. Think of your home and the maintenance you need to do on your home and multiply that like by 15. Okay, that's what we're dealing with. And then we're out in the country, so we have wells, septics, and treatment plants, which makes things just a whole lot more interesting. Okay, let's just say I know more about wells, and I'm a city boy. I know more about wells and treatment plants than I ever wanted to know. Okay, because we have permits with the DNR and we have to hit so many numbers, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, if you come to camp, you enter through the gates and there's the sign and you come down and it's there. There's our pool. And just so you know, we have camp all summer long. We have Oak Lodge. Some of you stayed in Oak Lodge, yes, for weekend camps and summer camps. And this is where our staff stays. And staff as in summer staff. We have Cedar Lodge. We have a beautiful golf course. Wait for it. Look familiar, Karen. Okay. So Karen and Connie put together a lot of new obstacles and a lot of new decorations for the mini golf. And then they came down and Jerry and Debbie Powers came down and installed it all for us. So that's what I'm saying. Everybody is part of the ministry. Okay. And now, did I tell you that somebody wants to donate new green? So we're going to put new green in this year at the golf course. So everybody is partaking. We have stables. We have over 50 horses for trail rides. So if you like horses, we have plenty of horses. We're along the Gasconade River. So we do tube floats. Now, I was going through pictures recently, and I sent Rachel and Tom a picture. And I won't embarrass you, Drew, but it was when he was a little boy and he was at camp. But I sent it to you. I said, oh, look at this picture. So it's just fun to see you guys older, you kids, not you parents, okay? But the kids are older and they've been involved at camp and they've been at camp. It's just fun to see as the kids get older, because I went back several years and found pictures of things. But it's just fun to see. So we're along the Gasconade River. We can do tube floats. We have RC cars, radio controlled cars there at the camp, which are a lot of fun. Our lake is wonderful. We are keep expanding on our lake. We have kayaks and paddle boards, and we have just canoes, things you can do down at the lake, which alleviates the congestion at the pool, which is a wonderful thing. So we have an obstacle course down at the lake, which is also a lot of fun. So just to show you some of the things that are going on, and of course you can go fishing in the lake. It's catch and release. So the kids bring, I mean, we've had fishing tournaments. There's just all kinds of different things. And then we have, of course, plaques and crafts. So there's just a lot of activity going on. Our gymnasium has a traverse wall. And then upstairs we have, or downstairs we have a room to play. How many of you played octoball, gaga ball, whatever you want to call it? Yeah, there it is. Okay. It'll wear you out. Sometimes I walk in that room and I'm like, whew, we need to ventilate, because kids during free time will spend all of their free time playing this game. They love it. So upstairs we have foosball, and someone donated a lovely new foosball table. And so our old one that has bent rods is going to go by the wayside. So my point is, you all are a part of the ministry. I mean, several weeks ago, we went down one day with four vehicles, four trailers, and came back with metal poles. They were 90 feet long. So we cut them into the lengths that we needed, because later on, we intend to run water and electric down to the activity field and to the lake. And guess what we're going to use those poles for? To light it up. So there was a chapel down in Jackson, Missouri that says, hey, we got these. We don't want them anymore. You want them? Yes, we'll take them. So there are things that we acquire over the years that we may not use for a year or two or three or five or 10, but we know what we would like to do. All right. And as resources become available, we have an archery range and for the kids, and it's a lot of fun. Our activity field is, we have multiple activity fields. Here's what it's all about, though. We have a chapel, and during camp, kids camp, we have two chapel meetings, one in the morning, one in the evening. Our motto is souls saved, souls discipled, so souls can be sent out. So think about that. It doesn't matter what our facility looks like. Yes, we want it to be nice. Yes, we want it updated. No, we don't have a paved road yet. So this is what it comes down to. It's the ministry. We have a very unique situation at Turkey Hill. I've been to camp conferences. The way we operate on faith, the way the workers are full-time workers, we work together in unity with the church. All right. And what I mean by that is, there are other camps, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but there are other camps, they're paid position, or I'm the director. So, well, I'm not going to fix the toilet, right? That's not my job. But if that's not how it works at the ranch, if I'm closing and it's 9:30 at night and, you know, Veronica says, hey, the toilet in cabin number 5 isn't working, I don't call Rodney and say, hey, the toilet's not working. I'll just go and fix it. It's no big deal. Now, if it's the middle of the day and I'm doing something else, then I might call Rodney And then when we work on projects, and you'll see that, we work together. Yes, we all have our area that we're responsible for, but yet we work. It's not your job, my job, her job, his job. We work together for the ministry, and that's what it's about. It's the clear presentation of the gospel. When I took over as director, the board asked me, what is your goal? I said, to keep the main thing the main thing. You know what their next question was? What's the main thing? Well, the main thing is our first statement, soul saves. That's the main thing. The presentation of a clear gospel so kids and adults can pass from death to life. That's the main thing. That's what the ranch is all about. It's not about the horses and the land. Yeah, it's great. And we got the dangling carrot out there so kids can have a great time and come. But it's about souls saved. And then we minister to the staff. How many of you have been on summer staff? Come on, raise your hand. Okay, so now we see that we have summer staff, so we want to minister, so we bring in a staff speaker, or we have the full-time staff, and we have meetings with them, so we can pour into their lives, so they can be who God wants them to be. And then souls sent out. There's people that have left Turkey Hill, have done other things. It's amazing as I walk around Jeff City and go in different stores with a Turkey Hill Ranch shirt on. Oh, I was there. Hey, I remember. How many staff come back and say, oh, I remember. I remember when you, remember all the donuts? You know, so people remember those things. And then our guest groups, love our guest groups that rent from us. Had one guest group, we prayed together, and his prayer was that this facility would keep being used to redirect people's lives. I thought that was really cool, because that's what it does. It redirects people's lives. Whether, listen, I started in camp when I was 15 at Lake Geneva Youth Camp. I got hooked. I have friends. I have lifelong friends that I met the first year I was at camp. I still have those good, close friends. So we minister to the staff, to the full-time staff. And just to give you a rough idea, we can run 196 kids at junior camp. We can have 10 campers at Ranch Hand. We could have 16 out on the river. We do a wilderness camp. And we can do up to 20 to 25 kids in day camp. And we can bump about 75 to 90 staff. So literally in a given week, we could be anywhere from 350 people to 400 people on ground each week, the weeks we have all those camps. That's what it's about, ministry. Some of our staff, wait, let's go back to this picture. I think, where's, Daniel's not here, but that's Daniel Johns way back there in the corner. So there's people that have been on staff that I have pictures of. I'm sure you could find a couple in this picture. But pray for the staff, pray for the summer staff. It's a long summer. And they pour themselves into what's going on. We do have some new camps this summer. We still have wilderness for boys. We added another boys' wilderness week because that week kept filling up. Now the second week is almost full. So if you're thinking about going, you need to sign up because there's only a few spots left. We have a girls' wilderness. They're going to go out for a week on the river, 13 and up. Jimmy Allen and Micah Tuttle are going to chaperone because Amy and Ashley, their wives, are going to be taking the girls, but they're going to be kind of, you know, overseeing to make sure there's no issues on the river. But we're doing a girls. And then we're doing two weekends. Come to camp on Wednesday. We'll take you to the river on Thursday, pick you up on Sunday, one for the girls, one for the guys. And it's more of a discipleship, 16 and up. So if you're interested in something like that, we added that. This year, we added man camp weekend. I don't know everything that's going to be. Here's what I know. There will be bacon. All right. Definitely we'll have bacon. Okay. We have girls retreat. We have our weekend camps, you know, our Memorial and Labor Day. So we've added some new programs and some new ideas and some new fun. And if you want to come and you don't want to drive down the gravel road, I'll come and pick you up. Okay. So our Ranch Hand program, we have, they're kind of a separate camp up the hill from main camp, and that's a lot of fun. Who's been to Ranch Hand? Yep, there it is. We have girls and boys Ranch Hand, a lot of fun. I call them the ranchers. I go up and eat breakfast or lunch with them, and it's just fun to see what's going on. But they deal with the horses all day long. They go on different rides, different things. And we're adding some new things to Ranch Hand, by the way. So then I get the question, well, that's really neat and that's really cool, but what do you do when camp is gone, when everybody's gone? Okay, a lot, okay? So I showed you pictures last year of things that we've done. Like I said, more information than I ever care about our septic systems and our treatment plants, all right? So we always have some type of issues. And God bless Steve Allen and Alan who are there, because here I am on a track hoe digging and Steve's like, go! And I'm like, I'm going to break the pipe. Go deeper. I'm going to break the pipe. And luckily, we found it because he kind of knows where everything is buried. So we didn't break the pipe. We were able to fix it. For those of you who've been around the pool when it rains, as you know, the drain there was collapsed. So literally, we had to cut the concrete that way and then the other way, the same distance, and we laid in a new drain. So now guess what? The pool deck drains properly. So the farmhouse that Jimmy and Ashley are living in, 112 years old. Last year, remember, we gutted pretty much the inside and remodeled it. I showed you pictures. Well, you know what it needs now? I went to the board and I said, well, you know what? We did all the work inside. Here's the next problem. It's going to leak because the roof was rough. Okay. Rough cut oak from the property when this house was built. You talk about hard wood, but every time you walked on it, you'd pop and you're like, okay, there's a leak. Pop, oh, there's another leak. And so we needed to replace the roof. So literally we tore the roof completely off. Okay. So I want you to take note of this particular room. Okay. So the roof went this way, then it went this way, and then it went down this way. So I'm like, let's make it all go this way, right? Let's make it easy. Well, easier said than done. So I'm standing there. Now, mind you, we've already ordered the trusses and everything. And I'm standing there. The trusses are in the yard. And I'm standing on the side of the house. And I look down and I'm like, oh, no, there's a 4-foot cantilever that we're going to put 10 trusses on. That's not going to work. So we had to put in a beam. Long story short, you remember the rough cut oak? Remember the room we just saw? Jimmy Allen took the rough cut oak and stained it and wrapped the beam that's inside. There's another room next to that that the beam goes through, wrapped it with that. So we take this, take it apart, but we still use what we can. So literally we took the roof completely off except what's holding the ceiling in upstairs. We raised the walls. And here's another thing. Our neighbor whose daughter came to camp and believed in the Lord for eternal life, went home and shared with her dad how cool camp was and what she learned and how she knew she had eternal life. And he became a believer. Guess what he owns? A truck that hoisted all of those up onto our roof. He's like, oh, I'll come and do it. Just let me know when you want to raise them up. I mean, we gave him a monetary gift because obviously it costs money, but he offered, it would have cost us 4 times as much to hire somebody out of Rolla to come and do this for us. But he lived down the road. He's like, oh, my truck will get it that high. I'll just bring it out. He came out. He's like, I'm going to put it here. I mean, he organized everything with me. I'm saying there's just a lot of the reputation that goes into what's going on at camp. So we put the roof on, took the siding down, fixed the porch. And of course, when you open up a 112-year-old house, you're going to have issues. The porch, we had to redo the posts and some of the supports and all of that. So we fixed all of that, put sheeting on it, put new siding back on it, and a beautiful new metal roof all over all of it. So that turned out really well. We repainted the chapel this past fall, actually, when the weather was nice. Now, for those of you who have been to camp and have gone into the pool bathrooms, pretty gross, right? We're redoing the pool bathrooms, the whole thing, from ground up, new everything in the pool bathroom. So it'll be a nicer bathroom. So we stripped out everything that's going on in there, and now we're putting it all back together. We plan on doing camper village bathrooms, should we get to it. We've got a whole litany of things. Where Jeremy and Bree are staying, we redid their kitchenette. They had a kitchenette, this young couple that just got married. So what we did is we moved the wall back in this apartment that's downstairs in the house that I'm living in. We separated that house. So it's two separate living areas. You can't get into each other's house from inside the house. You have to go from outside. So we redid the kitchen completely and made it a real kitchen, a real usable, like with a dishwasher, the whole nine yards kitchen. And then Jeremy made some open shelves. So it was really cool. So also what we did is we already put them in. So you remember the new lights we put in up and partly down the hill? Now there's new lights all the way down to camp. So from Camper Village all the way to main camp, we put in new lights and light poles. So just a lot of things that go on during off season that you may not know about. What we're currently working on now with the pool bathrooms is Steve and Karen's house. We literally raised the ceiling. Okay, this was a mobile home that was added on to, then they added on to that, and then they added on to that. Okay, so it needed to be taken care of. So we were redoing their living room area and their kitchen dining room area because it was literally you could walk in and touch the ceiling. So it needed some attention. So this is just, we have a board in the office, and this is just some of the things. You don't need to look at it or memorize it, but we have an ongoing list, and the list never ends of what we're doing and things that we're doing. So lastly, what I'd like to tell you about is what we would like to do next fall. How many of you have stayed in Cedar Lodge? Yeah, it's rough, okay? So on the board and we at camp, we have a vision. What, you know, we want to keep maintaining and upkeep of the buildings, right? We don't want them to fall into disrepair. So the next thing we looked at is we really need to do something with Cedar Lodge. So what we'd like to do is a total remodel starting in the fall of next year and then finish in the spring. So we did a rough estimate. It's going to be roughly about 100K. So what it would look like is literally we would strip everything upstairs and downstairs all the way to the outside walls. That alcove and those alcove rooms, gone. So we're going to reconfigure the rooms more like bunkhouse. So each cabin is along the side and you can go in. The bedding, like bunkhouse, we're going to put in, for those of you who have counseled, and I've counseled in Cedar, there's only one shower per room, and trying to get a cabin of 10 boys through, it's rough. So we're going to put in two showers and double sinks into the bathrooms, and then each cabin will roughly have the bunks on the walls like we did at bunkhouse. So we're looking at about 7 per cabin to maybe 9 per cabin. It just depends how it configures. And here's the fun thing. When I went and proposed this to the board, I said, and we could do mini split systems. Okay, I'm still certified with the EPA. I said, I can still buy these things, which means air conditioning and heating, which means we can use them through the winter, use this building through the winter. And then downstairs, we're going to strip it completely out, put a couple of cabins down there, and also reconfigure the meeting room and the craft and plaque room. So that's on the agenda, hopefully, Lord willing. So what you can do, like I said, you guys just pray. This is what we see the need that needs to be done, that needs to be repaired or fixed and upgraded. So how can you help? Pray. Pray for supplies. We have people that have already committed to come down for a whole week in February of next year, November, because we have guest groups. So in November, we have a group that's going to come down and spend from Sunday night to Saturday. We're going to just destroy and just take everything out of this building. So you can come down and help us. We have other weekends planned and things like that. Just ask if you want to come, and we have things that are going on. So just pray. We have work weekends coming up. We have physical support, financial support, because we can't do it on our own. We don't contract out hardly anything, okay? The Lord has blessed us with people with capabilities from mechanical to construction to God bless Rodney for taking care of the treatment plants. So everybody has their area of expertise, so to speak. So thankfully, we can do most of this without hiring a contractor out, but we can't do it by ourselves. We need your support and your help in that area. So with that, that's what our vision is for 2021. Amidst all the other small projects that we have, I mean, we have a litany of, you know, paint and updates and fix. Another thing we did, Bunkhouse has all brand new toilets now. Every cabin has brand new toilets. Do you realize those were the original toilets? Do you know how many times I've had to go at night and fix one of those toilets? I'm pretty excited for next year because I won't get that phone call. So there's just all kinds of different maintenance items and things. You know, I've picked up things up here that Jim Robertson has given us, things that you guys, I mean, I came to your house and picked up the things for the mini golf. I mean, everybody has a part, and we and the board are very thankful for all of your support. We couldn't do it without you. This ministry could not survive without you all. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the ministry of Turkey Hill. Lord, that we would, as we saw earlier, remove obstacles. Lord, that we would walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Lord, we just pray for the ministry at Turkey Hill as you guide and direct this next summer. We pray for the campers that are coming, the speakers that are coming, the staff, everyone that passes through the doors. Lord, there's a reason you orchestrate this. We just pray that their heart would be in tune and they would be open to what you have to say. We just commit this to you. Amen.